The days we're talking about here in the book of Revelation is a day that no man has to see, but multitudes will. Revelation chapter 6, we'll begin reading once again with the ninth verse. We'll review a little bit the fifth seal and then on to the sixth seal today. Revelation chapter 6, beginning to read with verse 9. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain by the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? White robes were given unto them and to every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little while, for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Now the sixth seal, verse 12. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said unto the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Let's begin with prayer. Father, we do thank you for this day. I praise you for the family that's come to hear your precious word. I ask that you'll touch every heart, and as I've just mentioned, Father, no one has to go through this time, but many will. And they will because they refuse to repent and turn unto you, dear Lord. They've refused your continual calling and your continual pleading with their heart that they would turn from the things and the ways of this world, turn and realize that their sins need to be taken away and turn from this to you. Please, dear Lord, that they'll make an about face today. That's all they need to do. And you take care of everything else. You take their sin away. You set them free. And you begin a wonderful life and walk with you, dear Lord. So please, today, be the day that every person that's here that's lost, that they'll hear these words and these words will touch their heart and they'll be saved. And Father, please, for all that are here that are saved, that are a part of the family today, let this awaken us and realize that the time is so short that this judgment's going to come. And we need to be doing everything we can do to plead with those that are lost. Plead with those that are religious but lost. Plead with those that never walk inside a church, wouldn't have anything to do with the church. Plead with them, knowing this judgment is coming. And this is just the beginning. This isn't the end. And then it's eternity in the lake of fire. Father, please. Stir all the hearts today for whatever the need is. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. In looking through the seals of the sixth chapter, we have found the white horse with the bowl and the crown. We've found the red horse that takes what fake peace, what peace it seems that the white horse brings and the rider of the white horse. And then the rider of the red horse takes that peace away. The rider of the black horse comes with famine. And the rider of the pale horse comes with the sword and famine and pestilence and the beast. And we've looked at those four horses the writers of those four. We find that as we looked at the fourth seal, the fourth rider, the fourth horse, that was the only one that was named. His name was Death, and hell followed with him. And then we looked at the 9th through the 11th verse this past week. And when that fifth seal was opened, we found a multitude of souls underneath the altar that had been martyred, brutally, brutally killed. And we talked about the persecution that was going to come. We know that the Holy Spirit that lives within the heart of every believer, the Holy Spirit, as we have in the day of grace, will be leaving with us, going back into the heavens, going back to the throne of God, going home. And we will be going home with him. We also know that no one can be saved without the Word of God, without the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And so somehow, some way, the Holy Spirit comes and begins to once again convict the hearts of the people during this tribulation period. And many will be saved. But those that are saved will begin with such an excitement that we should hold, that we should have. An excitement of telling others about Jesus, because they will recognize, I believe, greater than any other time, the end of the time is near. And so they have a couple of things to say. Number one, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And so they say that with such a joy and such an excitement in their heart that folks will come. They want people to come. But they also have another message that's a little bit different, and that is, that, and we should be proclaiming that, you know, not only the day of grace and, yes, trust in Jesus Christ, but his coming is soon and judgment is soon. Well, theirs is, they know the days are numbered. And so they are speaking of a kingdom that's coming. A kingdom that will arrive in just a very short period of time. And so they begin to tell all the people and all the leaders and everybody involved that Jesus Christ, Lord of Lords, King of Kings, is coming to earth again to rule and to reign. And we will rule and reign with him is the message that they give. And it's a message of joy and a message of excitement that this believer has. Well, only to fall on deaf ears. And not only deaf ears, but also on ears that have been given this great lie, and they have believed this great lie. And so not only the leadership of the world will come after them, but neighbors, friends. You come to Jesus Christ and your friend stayed with the world, that friend, the only desire of his heart is to kill you. He will not be able to stand to hear the gospel. He will hate it. He will despise it. And he will come with a vengeance to stop you saying it. That's the ones that's underneath this altar. Only those that went into the time that were murdered during the rapture, not all the others that were martyred in times past, only in this period of time called the tribulation. These are the tribulation saints here that were martyred for the name of Jesus. And there will be a multitude of them. And if you see what the words that they ask for, you know, they want to know how long will it take before you come with your full strength and answer the enemy? How long are you going to be patient, Lord? They want the judgment now, and it's understandable because of the way they died, and understandable because now they're in the presence of God, they're under the altar, and they know how righteous God is, how right God is, how perfect God is. And when they see the world and the enemies of the world continue to ignore God and reject God, and in many cases act like God when it comes to the beast and the Antichrist and all those involved. And so there will be just a great desire to the hearts of these that the end come. But once again, God in his patience, he said a little while. And even knowing, and God tells us in His Word right here, that there are more to be martyred. And why would God ever want another saint to die in such a manner? Why would He want that? Because of the love He has for these lost souls and the desire He has for them to be saved. And there is not going to be one individual in all the world that will ever be able to say, I didn't know. I didn't understand. God, even during the tribulation period, when judgment is being, the Antichrist, his truth, his actions will be poured out. He is the ugliest, brutal individual that has ever walked upon this earth. His mind, and he knows his days are short as the devil comes to these last years and last days, and he is going to pour out so much anger and so much wrath against God and against the little nation of Israel, against every and any believer in Jesus Christ. And so when this time comes, even though it means the death of more saints, God still wants that witness and still wants to tell them one more time, Jesus saves. And He's telling these saints under the altar that want judgment now, just wait. Just wait a little longer. And He gives them the white robe to show them His love to them, their righteousness that they possess. Could show that He accepts their question and realizes that time is very short. But He tells them just a little longer, just a little longer, and then times will come. That's the fifth seal. That's the fifth seal. Now we look to the sixth seal. If to this point your heart has not been stirred and have a desire for all those that you know that have rejected the gospel that they would be saved, surely the pouring out of the sixth seal, this opening of the sixth seal, you'll gain that. Because, you know, in that fourth seal, those that weren't killed with the sword, those that didn't die of hunger, those that didn't die of disease were left to be bait, food for the beasts of the field. If that didn't stir your heart, and again, this is judgment upon earth. This is nothing compared with hell, with the lake of fire. This is only going to last for 3.5 years. Eternity is forever. And those that go to hell will spend eternity in hell forever. What does it take for us to get our hearts turned and a desire in our heart to tell those people we know, tell those people we love, tell a total stranger about Jesus? Do we not believe this is going to come? Well, let's look at this sixth seal. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell upon the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken with a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together. This judgment. Does it say like an earthquake? Does it say that the sun is going to be, it's going to be like the sun, black as sackcloth of hair? Does it say that it's going to be like the moon become as blood? Does it say, you know, like the stars falling from the heavens? Is that what it says? No. It tells us a great earthquake. And remember here, and we forget this, I believe. We forget this. We forget that any event that is to come, any event that is in the future to us, we kind of are of the opinion of the thought that maybe that event will change. Maybe that event won't happen. But when it comes to God, every event that He has listed in the Word of God will come to pass upon His time as He says. It's not going to change. And so John here gets a view, he gets an early sighting of all this that's coming to pass. And so you see, God can take this man John, and He can take him in the Spirit into the future and see this event take place. And in God's mind, in God's heart, it's as if it is done. So don't think this is going to change. Don't think that something can happen, and if the liberals say this is all something that is spiritualized, it is not. It is something that is real. It is going to happen exactly the way the Word of God tells it. John saw it, John testified of it, and it will come to pass because God said it. A lot of the old picture, the sayings on signs and things, God said it, I believe it, that makes it right, or that makes it true. It got nothing to do with you and me. God said it. That settles it. God said it. That settles it. God said that there's going to be a great earthquake. The note that was made about this great earthquake is like the whole earth is going to go into convulsions. An uncontrollable shaking. An uncontrollable shaking. The violence will be so great that buildings and rocks will begin to just fly, just begin to fling through the air. As this earth begins to convulse, this shaking. We've had some great earthquakes. We talk about the fault that we live on right here that comes right up the Mississippi River. Nothing in history has ever matched what's going to go on here, because this is not going to be something localized. It's going to be something worldwide. The whole earth is going to do this. The whole earth is going to do this. And just imagine that all of a sudden, you know, we have had some light earthquakes here where all of a sudden it just feels like the room's moving. We haven't had but a couple in my lifetime, but we have had those. Nothing like they have had on the West Coast and in some other areas of the world that are just totally devastating. We've seen just small earthquakes that bring a tidal wave up on a poor land and take the land completely away. Hundreds, thousands die. There have been millions that have died through the years because of earthquakes. It's going to be nothing compared with what's here at this time. And it is real. It is an earthquake. God takes this world and it begins to break apart. And everything, the buildings and the rocks begin to fly. If that wasn't bad enough, the next step that we have here, the next statement is the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. This was a coarse black cloth made of hair, and it was black as black. And the only thing they could compare it to would be soot. Now, soot is something that if you have a fireplace, you maybe understand a little bit. But unless you go back in the days of the coal stove and old coal furnace, do you know what soot is? And you come out of there from cleaning that thing, and you were just black. And there is nothing, and it's just a residue that's left over after it didn't completely burn up. And so here's this little residue, but it's called soot, it's black. Well, that's what the sun is going to look like. The sun became black as sackcloth. Now, if you'll notice, it says the sun became, John saw it. And then it says black as sackcloth. He was making a comparison there. So don't miss where he moves from an actual sight, and then he was trying to describe it. And so as we look at these, the first is just a great earthquake. The second is the sun became black as sackcloth of hair. Now the moon became as blood. When he looked at the moon, it was blood red. Was it blood? No, as blood. As blood. So now we've got the sun is black. We have the moon as red. We have the earthquake going on and everything is shaking and buildings are falling down and rocks are, because of what it's doing, is the rocks aren't just falling, they're flying through the air. This is what we have going on during this time. And if that wasn't enough, then we have the stars of heaven fall unto the earth. This year, I don't know whether it was because it was so wet. I don't know why. But this year, we had some good apples on our apple tree, but every wind that come took a good portion of the apples away. None of them really waited to be ripe. It was premature. A month, 2 months ahead of time, we had one wind. It wasn't that strong of a wind, and I went out, and there were apples all over the ground. Untimely. That's what it's talking about here. This is what's going to happen, and here is going to come. The stars fell upon the earth, even as the fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken with the mighty wind. Stars are going to come falling out of the sky and fall to the earth. Just like when a wind came and all these apples fell off the tree. All as the figs untimely fall an wrong time, an incorrect time. So, we have the earthquake. So it seems as though that it's not just the earth convulsing. It doesn't seem like it's just that. It doesn't seem like that it's that. It seems like it goes beyond into the universe. Because if it's shaken, the stars loose from their sockets. You know, God put them in a place and they stayed there. Even though everything is moving and all that, they still had their location, they still had their place, and they stayed there. But no longer. When the sixth seal is opened, the earth and all the world seems to be just totally falling apart. It's just going to explode. You know, the world is always been afraid of an atomic bomb that was going to come and destroy all of mankind. Oh, they could destroy certain areas and regions and things like that. But man is not going to destroy mankind upon this earth. It's not going to happen because the Word of God tells us how it's going to happen. And if man would shoot a rocket across the earth and it would explode and destroy all of the vegetation and all the animal life and all the human life, everything is dead, everything is gone, God is not going to be looked up to. God's not going to be honored. God's not going to bring the fear that he brings here. Because as we finish this, as we look at the rest of this, we find now the next, if that wasn't enough, the earthquakes, the sun turns black, the moon turns as blood, the stars fall unto the earth. The heavens depart as a scroll when it is rolled together. And again, the heavens depart. And the only thing John can do is use something as a scroll that's rolled up. It just left. It just left. The heavens just left. And next, every mountain and every island were moved out of their places. It's believed that this earthquake and these convulsions are going to be so great and so strong that mountains will just tumble over and begin to roll like a ball. Islands will be unfastened from their foundation and begin to go out and into the sea. One man made a comment, it's going to be like a checkerboard, that you just pick the checkerboard up and you pour all the checkers back into the box when you're done playing. And that's what's going to happen to the mountains and the islands. It's just going to shift back and forth. It's going to shift back and forth. We're moved out of their places. Now, out of all this, let's look what happens. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens, in the rocks of the mountains. Did they fear the Antichrist? Did they fear the devil? Did they fear the great storm? You know, if an earthquake comes, why, you automatically hide yourself. You go for cover. An earthquake or a tornado comes, why, you go for cover. You look for a safe place to be and to hide. But you see, they're not hiding from the rocks. They're not hiding from this earthquake. They're not hiding from the mountains as they roll by. They're not hiding from the islands as they go here to there. Because you see, this time, the first time, mankind is going to understand who God is. That's the great message of this story. Man is going to know. You got somebody that you know and love, and they've rejected Christ, and we're raptured this afternoon, and they go into the tribulation period. And they've heard the gospel. I believe they will not be able to be saved. And so they will be a part of this. And as they go through this period of time, they will. The scripture's so clear. Every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that He is Lord. But right here and right now, they don't want to face Him. Who do they not want to face? Jehovah, God of gods, Lord of lords. They do not want to see His face. Look at what they'd rather do. And the kings of the earth and great men and rich men. So who is involved here? The kings of the earth will know. Great men will know. Rich men will know. Chief captains will know. Mighty men will know. Every bondman, every free man will know. Will be there. Will be there. And again, all this is for those that are left behind. Most of you have seen those movies. This is all for those that are left behind. Didn't get raptured. Didn't believe. This is what they get. This is what they'll have. This is their choice. This is their decision. But all that will be there will run for their lives for fear of the great God. They will hide. They will hide in dens. They will hide in caves. They'll hide under clefts of rocks. They'll hide everywhere. And you know what? It doesn't matter if you're a king or if you're the greatest man that ever lived, if you're a great ruler, if you're bond or if you're free, if you're a millionaire or you're the poorest man, doesn't matter if you're white, black, red, yellow, all men will beg to be covered so that God doesn't see them. They don't beg for their soul. They don't beg that God, please, please that you, I repent. I turn from my ways. Please, God, save me. They won't do that. They don't want to see him. They do not want to see his face. The Lamb of God, they do not want to face. And they'll do anything. They would rather have the rocks fall upon them, as the next scripture tells us. Hid themselves in the dens and the rocks and the mountains, and said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. Hide us. Hide us. They would rather have the rocks come and have that physical hurt and harm than ever see the face of God. But why can't they fear God today in such a manner? Why won't they come? Why won't they trust in Jesus? It's the age of the Laodicean church. That's the time that we're in. These words don't sound like what comes out of the liberal preachers' mouths today in most of the pulpits. You don't hear that God is a consuming fire. We will look next week. We're out of time. We'll look next week at Joel and a couple places in Isaiah and in Matthew, because we want to know and we want to understand. And we'll look as well to Amos 4:12, where he says, prepare to meet your God. Prepare to meet your God. And that's going to be the words that's coming here. How do you prepare to meet him? You can prepare today by trusting in Jesus. It's that simple. It's that easy. Oh, how can anybody miss it? It's because so many have been lied to for so long. Many of the folks that you visit with and talk to are in a church they've been to all their life. They don't preach the gospel. And so when you talk to them about Jesus, they'll give a comment like I received, and, oh, that's nice. That's nice. That same individual you're talking to, same individual I may be talking to or have talked to, they could go through this time. We're that close. We're that close. And if this wasn't bad enough, hell is forever. The lake of fire is an eternity. This just lasts a short period of time. My dear friend, we've got a lot of work to do. We've got a lot of work to do. There's no better example than right now. It's harvest time. It is late harvest. By now, usually half, two-thirds, 70, 80% of the crops are out. All you got to do is drive around the community and you'll find that most of the crops are in the field. Are the farmers getting anxious? Are they getting excited? It's time to harvest. It's time to go. I told a farmer that I was prepared to just have Thanksgiving dinner and then go right back to work, because the work with harvest and everything that we do. And you know what his comment was? You better leave Christmas open too. That's how late that he thought he was going to be before he was done. Well, you know what? If the harvest doesn't get taken out, you know, farmers go broke, livestock won't have feed, famine could come. But you know what? That's nothing. Nothing compared to a soul that slips off into eternity without Jesus. And we're at harvest time. And we're past harvest time. It's late. It's late. Let's be about the business of the Lord. Let's close with prayer. Father, I thank you today for your precious word. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your Holy Spirit as he comes down and touches all of our hearts, saved and lost alike. Whatever, dear Father, the need is today, I just ask that you'll come to, and I know that you will. If we call upon you, you are faithful. And so whatever the need is, and we call, you'll come, and that need will be answered. Salvation, first of all, and then let's be busy about your work. Harvest is here. Please guide and lead us now, dear Lord, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.